Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 13 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me, as ever, I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
And who are you all playing?
Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, newly minted human statue.
I'm playing Hamid, the halfling spellcaster. I've been describing him as a sorcerer because that's the out-of-character description, but... I think it's clearer if I start making it obvious that that's not an in-character label.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Zolf Smith, dwarven cleric, and also apparently personal development coach.
Sasha Rackett, who is in her slimy underworld element right now.
As a quick recap, obviously you guys are tracking down the people who messed around with the simulacrum at Edison's house and killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You traced it to Other London, but got ambushed when you were trying to track down the equipment where they bought it. Got taken to...
Coincidental same name.
Mm-hmm. You got taken to basically the Rackett headquarters where you were made an
coincidence.
Offer. Yep. But and you were made an offer you can't refuse that included a ring of magical origins that was given to Hamid.
Mysterious magical ring. Yeah. Oh my god, a halfling's wearing a magic ring, guys.
What?
I did wonder about that.
Say what?
And you guys got hold of a map to a compound where apparently, according to Barrett, the head of the Racketts...
Who's very trustworthy,
probably.
So trusty. We didn't really interrogate that, did we?
So trusty!
Yeah.
I think it was about that far away from killing us. So I wasn't really that keen to interrogate.
And, actually, Sasha found out some more info about Brock from incredibly sinister 7-foot
He's in Paris
friend.
In the cloak.
The Dementor,
in the cloak.
Right? He's a Dementor.
Oh, well, you know, sure. And... you guys tracked it down, went through Rackett territory, got some eel quiche on the way.
Yay!
Invented eel quiche.
You did. You invented eel quiche. And
quiche
then...
a la...
Eel.
No, what's his name? Greg?
Greg.
Greg.
Quiche
a la Greg. Quiche eel a Greg.
And nonetheless, after Sasha scouted out the area, she found that they could probably draw away some of the guards and there wouldn't be too much left. And then, although his charm person failed, Hamid has nonetheless succeeded in drawing both
with
guards.
With my natural charm.
With your natural charm. Succeeded in drawing both guards to a little nook hidden away. Whereupon, they're looking for a statue covered in eagles. At which point...
Falcons.
I keep
How
saying that.
How dare you!
Covered in falcons and... Where we left off, a certain player, namely James, had managed to pull out of somewhere a natural 20 on a disguise check to look like a statue.
But we don't need it. It's not critical to combat or the play of things. I'll just roll a 20 now. I thought, why not?
Why would I have it in combat when I could roll several ones.
Just for character flavour. Why not want to do it now?
So describe to me then what your disguise entailed and how you're posed, let's be honest. That's an important factor.
That is an important factor. Well, obviously, in an ideal world, if I was posing as a statue, I'd like to be sat on a horse because with the horse's leg raised, which would imply that was victorious in battle.
Or something to aspire to.
I know, there are no horses.
That would be okay. More of a struggle to make up to pretend to be a statue in the time of
you have to roll for the horse.
I'd build a horse out of filth. Okay, so what Bertie has done is he's buffed up his armour with his standard armour polish that he has whenever he's going somewhere a bit fancy, mm-hmm. and he needs to wear his dress armour. He's pulled his helmet down and polished that up super loads. Also, he's got a little bit, because the only real gap in the armour when the helmet is down is the eyes. So he's just kind of put a little bit over his eyelids as well, so that it looks like it's a consistent. So even if somebody were to stare right in, because this is a 20.
Oh, yeah.
This is an amazing disguise. He's done that. He's just kind of rubbed a little bit of just muck just into the grain of the armour to suggest that this statue's kind of been here a while and it's an established part, and it looks a tiny bit weathered as a result of that because of the muck.
Imagine that would hurt Bertie.
Well, he's not pleased about it, but nobody can see his grimace. at this point as well, he's got his sword drawn, and he's kind of standing in a kind of a guards type pose with sword up and shield out.
Mm-hmm. How's his falcon lamp?
I've raised it so as to draw them in.
Oh, so you're a beacon.
Like an anglerfish.
Like an anglerfish.
A big falconesque angler.
It's going to be exactly like that. I'm going to bait the two guards in, then I'm going to absorb their bodies, leaving certain essential elements of them dangling on the outside.
For use later.
So again, for use later. For use
so,
when required.
What is everyone else doing?
Okay, so I am hidden behind a rock that is just behind the pool that Bertie is standing in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about within trident range, so if they start to inspect him by getting in the pool, I can give him a bit of a prod.
Mm-hmm.
And I've braced myself, so I am looking to charge into them using my tiny, tiny move range.
And Hamid?
I have taken my own picnic portion of eel quiche out of my pocket and borrowed Sasha's as well, and I'm standing hidden in some shadows with an eel quiche portion in each hand, readied.
Quiche bombs.
And Sasha?
I am folded into a tiny crevice in a rock. If you think of the journey that the guards are taking, like a sort of road, the rock and pool that Bertie's in is on one side of it, and the rock that we're on is on the other. So they should pass by, I'm hoping, and I am quite good at disguise, that they will come past and see the beacon, turn to that, and then...
So,
stab him in the back.
Sasha and I are hopefully well concealed.
Can I get a stealth check from everyone that isn't Bertie? bearing in mind you're getting enormous bonuses for having time to prepare and knowing where they're coming from and all kinds of things.
15.
Yep.
2.
Right.
Okay, his stealth roll is 2, but he is literally behind a rock.
Oh, like I said, you're getting enormous bonuses. It's just in case.
I have 15 as well.
Okay, sure. So, the guards start approaching, and they, at first, they're being quite careful until they see the light shining from the beacon. At which point, they kind of lose their cautiousness on just sheer curiosity, and then come around the corner and see this sort of ancient monolith of a man encased in bronze or gold or something, knee deep in muck, but nonetheless it's like a beacon from an older time, a testament to the greatness of man staring and guarding the Thames from those that would come. And they go up straight away. You hear them muttering to each other, he's actually turning truth. And they go right up, they leave the dog sort of unattended, and they're just sort of sniffing around. One of them goes, oh, go on. All right. So one of them, he sort of wades in just a little bit, up to the knee, literally right up to the statue, and starts, ding, ding. Goes next to him, puts his arms around it, as if there was a photo, they'd be taking a photo.
Taking an eye photo.
At which point, I will take a 5-foot step,
mm-hmm.
and just ramming my trident into his spine.
Ooh, they're having such a lovely day.
Well, if you're a guard and you get distracted by a fabulous falcon statue.
Yeah. I am going to allow you to do something here, slightly retconny, which I shouldn't do, but you would have had enough time. I'll allow all of you to have coordinated.
Yeah.
Everyone roll me initiative, just so I know the order that you're in.
17.
Anyone higher than 17?
No.
I'm back on form with 5, so.
Yeah.
Lower than 17?
10.
7, if you include my bonus.
But if this is something we've coordinated to want to...
It's just the order that things go off.
Yeah. Right. So we will all get an entire round of actions. Mm-hmm. That's the surprise round.
Cool.
Then there will be a normal round where you are likely to still act before them.
Hooray!
Again.
And would get your sneak attack again.
Yes. Yay! I like stabbing.
Once it goes off, it's really nice. So I've got Sasha, Hamid, Bertie was on 10?
7.
7.
And then I was on 5.
Okay.
From the look on your face, these aren't the brightest guards?
These are not the brightest guards and have rolled incredibly poorly on their initiative.
Yeah. So we're not looking at the cream of the crop.
Ace is gonna die!
Yeah. I think they sent those guys out on the away mission and these were the guys that stayed behind.
Okay, so Zolf gives a signal. And Sasha's quickest off the mark. What do you do?
So he's stabbed them in the spine?
No,
not
this
yet.
This is all happening
simultaneously. Sorry,
you can...
I want to hold on.
Hold an action until I start.
You can run up to him and stab him in the back now. The whole point of the surprise round is he will not have
noticed
you.
Oh, yeah, he will still be being snuck.
You will
attack.
Get snuck sneak attack if you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess I have to run past the dog.
The dog is in surprise round and can't do anything either.
They can't enter.
I would recommend charging because it gives you a bonus to your attack.
Cool.
You can cover the distance. It's a straight line. It's easy. It's easy terrain. The bit that you've picked is easy terrain.
Yep.
So you automatically, because you've had to move, you only get the one attack. But nonetheless, you're getting sneak attack damage.
And you're
getting
plus two,
a plus
on the
two
roll.
Just to
hit
him.
Okay, just to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 12 plus the 2. 14.
It's a hit.
Well, what's your normal attack bonus?
Plus the extra one, I think.
Yeah, so you're up at 15.
One, so 15.
Yeah.
Right.
So you get your...
And he's flat-footed.
And he is flat-footed, so that means he's taking penalties on top because of the flanking and everything. This is how you do roguing.
So then I...
D4 and
D6. D4 and D6.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for goodness sake, Sasha. That's 4.
And you do get your Dirty Fighter bonus, so...
Yeah,
you
negate your... Cancelling the strength.
You negate your strength.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At which point...
Why'd you get to that another 2 times?
All right.
Oh yeah, before any of them can do anything.
Because you've got 2 swords now,
two
daggers, and you're there. So.
Hamid.
I step a couple of steps out of cover towards where all the action is happening,
mm-hmm.
and I whistle. I can't whistle in real life, but Hamid can.
Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Sure, you whistle.
I whistle for you.
And I just gently toss. I've got a eel quiche,
mm-hmm.
quiche a la grag in each hand. I just toss them forward.
Uh-huh. You're not even going to see a reaction from the dogs yet?
They're too confused.
Bertie, the human statue.
It's Bertie. Bertie, the human statue.
What adventures will Bertie, the human statue,
crush a man's head?
Oh, I was going to go for Bertie, the human statue. What adventures going to have this week? He's going to stand still because he's a statue. Bertie, the human statue.
Best episode ever.
Yeah. Next episode. 30. Right. Sorry, it's a whole series just about like copper oxidization. It's
quite educative.
Hard hitting stuff.
It's the kind of thing they show
attack
in physics class.
Yeah. Like, take your attack.
Okay, so I am going to unleash a mighty bellow and attack.
They're going to roll themselves.
Yeah.
Roar! McGuffingham's alive! and I'm going to attack. I think that's probably going to be...
You'll get a flanking bonus on that one.
Oh, I'll have the one on the flanking bonus then. Yeah.
So which one? Just point for me.
That one, I believe. Yeah.
He's going to be finished by the time I get to use my...
Sorry,
three,
no, still get
3 plus there. My attack bonus, which is 4, which is 7.
Plus your flanking bonus takes it up to 9. But it's still not probably good enough against
his
flat-footed AC.
So, Bertie gives a huge... does a huge swing and then proceeds to go, oh, no, polish in the eye, and just happens to swing and miss him. And after that, Zolf.
Whoop.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, that whoop was my 5-foot step.
Stab.
Get spined. Don't miss. That might be a miss. Eight.
Eight is a miss.
You guys!
Dice.
She's carrying you guys.
We get another go.
At which point, The guards, the one that's next to Bertie from the bellow, literally falls over prone. In the water, just... the one who got stabbed in the back is terrified and just screams, "Ghosts! Ghosts!" One of the dogs hears the whistle and faces the complete wrong direction, having got a one in its initiative. And the other dog turns and... This is not in its turn, but
I'll
do it anyway.
Makes a terrifying will save for Quiche.
Fails its will save and just goes, Quiche. Doesn't go for it yet. It's not its turn. It's noticed it and is in trap.
Transfixed by Quiche.
Yeah.
Sasha, you're up again.
I'm going to stab this dude twice.
Oh, take both attacks with all of the bonuses in the world.
Do I need to, roll to hit, right?
Two times to hit.
Mm-hmm.
14, and that's a 5, which...
That'd be a 6.
Yeah.
So one of them
15
hits,
and a 6.
One of them hits.
Right, cool.
So you get your...
You're getting flanking as well. Like, you're getting lots of bonuses, but the 5 probably still isn't good enough.
Yeah, it's close, but it isn't quite enough.
Right. Ooh,
that's
five.
A better one.
8!
He's down. He's
Yay!
Gone.
Yay! I killed a dude! Oh, not killed. You know, I knocked him down.
He's near death. Tell you what, describe the blow for me.
Fortunately, no one, I think, is looking us straight in the face, because it is quite a... ugly grin, stabbing delight, as she'd run across and shank this guy very quickly, sort of beneath some ribs, which, you know, it did some damage, but it didn't go right the way down. But when she saw him like jump up without really paying attention to her, like it's immediately like flop, flop, under his thick leather jacket.
Precision, that's what it is. Hamid, you're up. One of them's already down.
Blood everywhere.
I am going to hold my action.
Good call. Bertie, you're up.
I'm gonna hack at the prone man.
not even offering him surrender, just hacking. Go for it. Give me the roll.
Wait, maybe we can ask them about what's going on inside.
I hack at the prone man. 7 plus.
That's a hit.
With all the bonuses.
It's a hit. So stacked against them.
So damage roll is d10 plus 3.
So this is what happens when we get the drop on people.
Yeah. 6 plus 3 is 9.
9. He's still alive and not unconscious, but he has
screaming.
Just been attacked by a living statue of creepy origins that doesn't seem to be human, just going, under the water, and just took a sword to him. Yeah,
I've taken a good slice off his leg.
Zolf, you're up.
Right, just drop my trident to the side, grab the guy in the water that's just been attacked by Bertie.
Mm-hmm.
Pull him out, shouting, "Stay down and you won't be hurt!"
Okay, sorry!
And if I can get him out, I'll just basically lean him with my shield. Just keep him down.
Sure. Meanwhile, the first dog that couldn't figure out where it was proceeds to trot off looking for a Quiche that it couldn't discern because it's an idiot and rolled a natural 1.
Silly dog!
The other one,
Quiche is different.
The other one, which got its initiative roll, which... wasn't particularly good anyway, and then did a cripplingly awful will save against Eel Quiche, proceeds to go over and just nom on some Quiche.
I look back and I'm like, I wanted that Quiche.
At which point I'm going to call an end to combat because
I'm going
to
ask Bertie to come over and help me with the dogs because he has handle animal.
Oh yeah, you can totally use it now.
Yeah.
So
this is the time, Bertie.
So one of them is down and appears to be bleeding out, should you decide to stop it. The other one is just pinned down going, "Sorry!" He's not doing anything. One of the dogs is wandering off, and another one is chowing down.
All right, Sasha, if you go over here, keep this guy subdued, I'll get the other one.
I walk around.
Make him drop his weapons.
Sure.
Yes.
And I lean on the shield, and I hold the knife to his throat.
Nice, and I'll kick the sword out of his
hand. He's already thrown his sword away, going, "Sorry, sorry, sorry, sorry!"
Well, actually, I've got... What have I got? Do I have rope? Yeah, I want to tie him up.
Yeah,
yeah.
If we will pass there and you've got ropes, you can hand me some.
Yeah, I'll hand you
some. I start tying up his
Well, arms. We'll say that you take 10 because the guy's not going to be struggling,
yeah.
I think.
I will go to
I'm
this guy.
Mm.
Just stabilise him.
Yep, he's stabilised but unconscious.
And
very, very as in, having done the maths, incredibly close to death but stable now.
Drag him round to his friend.
Yep.
or associate, I suppose.
And the one dog that was wandering off has started sort of turning around and coming.
I'll attract his attention with the eel pie.
Sure.
Who's a good doggy?
Bertie, what are you doing?
But I'm going to talk to the one that's already chowing down on the quiche. Hello, who's a good boy? Who's a boy? You're a good boy. Hello.
Okay, give me a handle animal check.
Can I take twice as long to...
Yes. You can pop a, treat a dog, I will allow this. As broken as it is, because what you're doing, I'll rule that what you're doing is you're making yourself look the most alpha of all of the people it could ever encounter.
That's what I'm doing. So I'm at plus five for this. 14, 19.
What, plus one for pomp and pageantry?
Oh, plus one, 20. Ooh.
What are you trying to make it do?
So I am trying to tame the dog, make it be our lovely friend. Because its previous master clearly was rubbish, so I want to make it.
Okay, let me check something.
Keep the dog.
Keep the dog.
Yeah. Are we get this. Are you going to turn to Bertie Doolittle?
A little bit.
Well, we might have to tie them up over here while we.
Yeah.
Deal out the compound.
Keeping the dog distracted and playing with it and trying to transfer its loyalty away from the slightly rubbish master through a simple act of kindness.
Aww.
Yes.
Like stabbing its master.
You like stabbing its master?
Yeah.
So, having looked it up briefly, the handle animal thing's a bit obtuse when it comes to, you know, getting hostile, like, guard dogs or whatever on your side. That said, I will totally allow it that with the 20, this massive bull mastiff proceeds to go flop onto its back and just be.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? You are.
The other one starts coming back, and it may go either way. You can't tell if it's going to be hostile or not yet.
Can I attempt a similar thing on that, just to sort of calm it down?
Sure, yeah.
12. I don't think I'll bother with it, because he's advancing quickly, so I wouldn't have the time to...
Don't pump a pad. You wouldn't have to pump a pad.
12 plus 5 is 17.
17. The other one comes over too. It's not nearly as enamoured with you, but nonetheless, it proceeds to sit down with its friend and just start munching on an eel quiche.
Yeah.
And but the first one though is a little bit besotted.
Okay.
A little bit besotted.
You are. See, sausages.
For the listeners at home, we cut pretty... 10 minutes.
We actually went home and came back.
Okay. Yeah. Guys,
there's
are you okay?
A week long break between episodes. We're just doing this.
So dump his friend down and sort of leaving you very handily with knife to throw.
Yeah.
just step on his hand that's protruding through the weapon away with, and just press down and say, "So, using my dwarven heaviness."
Yep.
Who do you work for?
Serpentines.
Serpentines,
yeah.
They've been getting up to anything recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, what have they been getting up to?
Loads of stuff.
Yeah. Any particular stuff? Maybe in Upper London?
Oh, yeah. Loads of stuff. Okay. Anything that you want.
That's actually not what I want. I want you to give me specifics. Now, what's the most recent thing they did? Say, yesterday. No, the day before yesterday.
Oh, loads of stuff. My memory is going...
Just press down on his hand.
I'm going to get you to do an intimidate check.
Yep.
If anyone wants to aid, do so now. You're not each going to get your own intimidation.
I will. I have a knife at his throat. All right, the two people with charisma.
I think we're getting bonuses, but
I feel like I should lend a hand, but then I'm busy with
busy making a friend for life.
I know.
Hammett, how about yourself? Are you
I'm going to come over and be the good cop.
So give me the intimidate. So.
9 minus 1.
So that won't be a successful aid.
And that is... 15 all told.
15, let's give him a counter roll. He is not intimidated. That doesn't mean your interrogation has to stop, by the way.
Yeah,
it just means that he won't just blab and be incredibly conducive.
I like that Sasha fails to be intimidating while she's got a knife at a go throat with his.
His intention is elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, all right. Your memory's quite bad, yeah?
Yeah,
so what could jog that? Multiple things. Maybe
freedom.
Freedom, money.
Being
stabbed to death with a trident.
Or a dagger.
It's okay. They're not going to hurt you, okay? We just need information.
I mean, I
might hurt him.
Just give him a second. Okay. Let him calm down. I know this is stressful for you.
Stressful.
Breathe.
But there's a shield.
She's not that heavy.
Just lean back a little. He's tied up now. It's fine.
I lean back a little, but my dagger is still on his throat.
Okay.
Just back a touch. Back a touch. Come on, Sasha.
I don't know. I don't like beards like this. The stubble.
Oh, yeah. Start shaving.
Aggressively shaving.
Come on.
No, just like he needs taunting him with the dagger.
He needs to be able to talk. We just need to let him talk. Okay. Just.
It is a millimetre.
20 centimetres. Okay. Give me 20 centimetres. Come on.
It is a centimetre. That is
okay,
it.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Just breathe.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not here to hurt you.
I am.
We need to know.
Okay, can I get you, before you do your wording, to give me the diplomacy roll? Remember, I'd always rather you roll than role play.
6, which is a total of, I think, 13.
Okay.
Oh, no, 14. Bad.
And he has rolled poorly. Role play it and get what you think is right, and then I'll give you the count.
I just really wanted a friend.
Yeah.
We're not here to hurt you. We just need information, okay? Right. If you don't know what your group have been up to, just tell us about who's in the compound. How many people?
There used to be 4 inside, but now there's 3 since Guy. There's 3.
3 people or 3 guards?
Oh, there's 3 people inside.
3 people. And what do you know about those people? So what are their names?
Oh, well, there's Guy, there's Carl, and then there's his brother Carlton.
Okay, so Guy and Carl and Carlton.
Jeremy left, yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Okay. When did Jeremy leave?
He left when they, you know, when they got back yesterday. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
What, do you know where they went when they left yesterday?
Jeremy?
No, before, when they, you say Jeremy left when they got back.
Oh, yeah, no, wait, they went for this, no. No, I don't.
Yes,
no.
You do. Come on. I don't.
To be quite honest, we did hear the first 3 letters of that.
The
Palmer. No. Fill us in here.
There
we go, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they went for the simulacrum. And then they came back with the stuff.
Then Jeremy left.
Yeah.
So did he take anything with him when he left?
Oh, I don't know. Guy's gone mad though. Guy's proper angry.
Okay. So Guy and
Carl.
Oh,
Guy's gonna kill me.
And Carlton.
Like actually kill me. I don't mean he's gonna be annoyed. I mean he's actually gonna kill me.
Well.
So where?
Can I kill you first?
Where will they be?
Yeah. No, yeah, good point.
Where will the 3 of them be? In the
They're
compound?
Inside. They'll be
in the main building.
Yeah.
Will they all be in the same room?
Yeah.
How well do they fight?
They're pretty good. They're good at I wanted to join and now I don't. I want to go home.
We'll take you home. Once it's all done here, we will take you home. You don't need to worry.
Is that a bluff? I'm curious. If it's not, if you believe it,
Hamid believes it.
Then it's not a bluff.
How long have you been a member of the Serpentines?
Oh, like a couple of weeks now.
Yeah?
Mm.
Did you know about their plan to get a simulacrum beforehand?
Oh, well, I mean, like, the guy gave a speech. It was dead good.
What?
It's dead good speech.
Do you know how many people they killed to get the simulacrum?
No. No.
Yeah.
What was his speech about? What does he think it can do? What does he plan to do with it?
Don't plan to do anything,
right?
Well, no, because that's the point, isn't it? You know, it's like you get rid of the devices that are like taking the places of people, right. You know, up top and that, and that way, like, you know, the power comes back to us. You know, like you're an under Londoner, I can tell.
Yeah, like there was so much power here before they managed to make those machines.
Well, that's the point, right? Because it was the machines that did the flood, wasn't it? So, like, if you get rid of the machines, then everything goes.
What's your name, friend?
I'm. Hang on. Not an idiot. Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Right. Yeah, Bob.
So
yeah, he gives a sort of grin where he may actually genuinely believe he got away with that. He is not a sharp one.
So Guy is the leader, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, and what weapon type of weapon does he use?
All of them. Oh, he's got like those throwing things and like.
So they throw fire flasks. He throws fire flasks.
Yeah, got loads of them, and he's got these. He's got like magical stuff, and I don't know what though.
Do you know what kind of deal that these serpentines have done to... Because there's only, what, there's three of you? There is no way that you did this attack. Why did Barrett, like, bring us here?
Thank you very much, Bob. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go and deal with the others.
Right, yeah.
We're going to leave you here, tied up.
Take the statue with you.
He's coming with us.
Right.
But once it's all done, we're going to come back for you, and we're going to make sure that you're safe.
I promise I will be here waiting.
You'll be tied up, so yeah. You will be here waiting.
Oh, no, oh, come on now. Now I can wait while I'm untied.
I'm just going to turn round and whisper to you, knock him out.
Wait, is there anything else about the compound? You told us, so Guy, he's a good fighter.
Mm.
And the others, nothing, they're just...
So what? You're just going to leave me here tied up, like,
yep.
On my
we'll
own?
We'll be back.
Well, yeah. But, like, if you're not...
Would you like me
back
to do anything else to you?
Traps!
Before...
They got traps, Yeah, you want to watch out for the traps. Mm-hmm. They use a lot of tripwires. And also, like, they tend to set up, like, alarms and things like that. Mm-hmm. And Guy uses magic and also makes sure that you come back.
How do we get past these traps? Is there an easy way in?
They brought me on Deem because I had my own dog.
Right. Great. Okay.
Do you have a key to the gate?
He does. He kind of gestures to the other unconscious one who's just...
I search his body for the key.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and then we'll cover what he's got in a couple
Hooray!
Of minutes.
Hooray! Searching the bodies! Woot!
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With ACAST, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello there, I'm James.
And I'm Alex.
All the way from Rusty Quill Towers. Now, this August...
That's August 2015. If you're listening in the future, then we're all dead and apes have taken over the Earth!
Ah, curse you, apes! You are the source of most of my problems. Now, we're both doing shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and we'd love you, specifically you, to come along. My show is a stand-up show. It's called James Ross Lepidoptera. It's on from the 8th until the 29th of August, except on Wednesdays, at 4:45 at Globe Bar on Nidri Street. Now, it will be literally the best thing you've ever seen if you've had a very narrow life and an extremely limited field of experiences.
And I'm directing a sketch comedy show with a group called Casual Violence. The show's called Om Nom Nom Nominous, and it's on at the Pleasance upstairs at 11:15 p.m. from the 20th to the 23rd. If you like those nightmares where you run screaming from a monster only to realise it was actually just trying to invite you to a show but you didn't realise, so you instead stayed home alone and watched reruns of Magic Roundabout whilst crying, then this is the show for you.
It is the show for me.
Yeah. So we hope to see you there, and we hope we don't disappoint you too much if it's the first time you've met us.
I am not going to disappoint you. I'm really impressive.
You're a joy. Anyway, with that, let's get back to the show.
Let's do that thing.
And welcome back. Okay, so given that he, you know, obviously seems fairly inexperienced and a bit naff, he's pretty well provisioned, actually.
Hey, stuff.
He has.
Did not necessarily tell the others what I'm doing.
No, just
go for it. Give me a search check on him, and that'll help me determine just how much you find. If anyone wants to aid, wants to aid, please do so now.
Oh, only 9 plus.
Too late,
so
the roll's
16.
Down now. Yes. 16? No, 16's actually a decent roll. You find upon him a potion of cure light wounds.
Nice.
A smoke stick, a tangle foot bag. It's clear to you he's wearing a masterwork studded leather armour.
Ooh.
It is mundane, however.
It's actually going to be really difficult to take that off.
And would not resize magically to you. So you could, I'd allow you to get away with it, but it would be quite cumbersome.
As if, Zolf, does this fit you?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
He's 5'6".
It'd be trailing on the ground.
I thought it was a belt.
No.
This is a full studded leather, quite
right.
Curious.
I'm really sorry. Well, to be fair, that is the kind of awkward thing that Sash would do. Are you on this? No.
What do you think?
Oh, sorry.
There's a lovely dress. I mean, would you like the...
Well, actually, you know.
Okay, he's got 5 daggers.
Yeah!
Especially given that you left one in the marketplace.
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. He has a short sword.
I don't have any use for it, but I put it to the side so other people can see it.
A set of masterwork thieves' tools.
Cool, so 2x masterwork.
3 coppers.
Boom!
Brilliant.
I have no money, so to me, that's like
3 days' rent.
Yeah!
And that's it, that's everything he's got.
Cool.
So, presumably, you want to know about the smoke stick and tanglefoot bag?
Yes, please.
Sure.
You don't know anything.
So, just explaining it quickly, the smoke stick. It's another alchemical weapon. They seem to be big on those.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wooden stick that instantly, when used, creates a thick, opaque smoke when burned. Mm-hmm. The smoke fills a 10-foot cube, like a fog cloud, except that its moderate or stronger wind dissipates it. So it's consumed after one round, or the smoke dissipates naturally after 1 minute. So as in, once you throw the stick, it gives you a smoke screen. The stick itself is gone in one round, and the smoke that it creates, which fills a 10-foot cube, will dissipate within about a minute, unless there's...
How many rounds is that? Wind.
So, 1 minute is like 10 rounds.
Right, good stuff.
So, out of combat, it's okay. In combat, it's pretty darn useful.
Cool.
And, Bryn, you've got the details on
Tanglefoot. Yeah, the
Tanglefoot
bag's really cool. It's like this grenade filled with goo, and it, like, sticks people. Like, it says, so the bag... When you throw the bag, it comes apart and goo bursts out, entangling the target and then becoming tough and resilient upon exposure to air.
Is it one use?
Yeah, it creates it's like a bit like that sort of high pressure foam they use where it hardens really quickly, and they use it as like a restraint thing.
I think both of those are things that I would keep.
Yes.
And I would not necessarily tell people.
That's fine, you can choose to do that or not.
Although I do with the health thing, since
I actually just to cut across, I will spell out actually. When it's entangled, it takes a -2 on all attack rolls, -4 to dexterity, and must make a reflex save or be glued to the floor.
Cool.
And even if it succeeds at save, it still moves at half speed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it makes a save, it can't fly, stuff like that. It can break free with a strength check, or
it
has to slash.
Does it kind of flanking them if they're tangled and I can't talk?
No.
Because if they're stuck facing one direction,
it would,
then
the
I can
thing that you're
behind.
Thinking, so to get the sneak attack, they'd need to lose all of their dex bonus.
Ah.
What this specifically says is they don't lose their dex bonus,
dex.
It just gives them a really hard penalty because they deliberately don't want rogues to just go, goo stab.
Because it doesn't, although it restricts their movement, it doesn't make them unaware of you. And it's them being unaware that makes you really good.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Okay.
So that's all of the stuff that he had upon him.
Yep.
And you know why you're going to love me? The other guy had the same.
Hey.
I'm going to assume that you did a search for both.
Yeah.
They both had the same equipment.
But that means as well that I have 4 Cure Light Wounds. I am going to give one of them to Hamid.
Thank
he
you.
Gave me one.
Yes. Actually, I did.
Did you?
We both
gave. Oh,
okay.
Different
points.
Oh, yes. That's
why you had 2.
Only give one to Hamid.
Okay, so you're all stocked up with equipment.
That means I've got 3x masterwork thieves' tools, and I've still got the other ones. I've got a lot of thieves' tools.
So
I hold one out to Hamid. Would you like some thieves' tools?
No. Keep them settled, or we can just sell them back.
Yeah. Oh, and that was another five daggers, right? Oh, four daggers. Yep.
You're drowning in daggers.
I put out an array of daggers. Look how many daggers this one had.
Yeah, well,
I take one, so I now have ten. But anyone want some daggers?
Nope.
No.
So
I gather up the daggers. I might be encumbered by daggers.
You'll have to do the math, but I'll allow you to sort of retcon some distribution of...
I've got 14 daggers now. I've got,
they're not that heavy. I think you're probably...
It's like a set of steak knives you signed up to a life insurance policy.
Tell you what, we'll throw into the bargain that each of them was wearing a belt with sheaths for five daggers.
Cool.
And a sword, so
you're looking like a Final Fantasy character.
So you can do a dual bandolier across the chest if you
want. Oh my god, yes!
Or you could do this kind of stylish where you wear one belt tightly and then one kind of loose at an angle.
Oh yep, that is exactly
Han Solo.
That is the Japanese game design look.
Yeah. Oh, well, there, yeah.
But they must be done in such a way that it doesn't rattle as I move.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's a level of professionalism here.
Yeah. Okay.
So once that has the horde has been
just assuming
collected,
that I have enough belts to do all that,
I will slam the guy in the head with the butt of my trident. Right. So what do we do with these two?
Sure, you
are
don't
they,
want to
die. Are they both tied up?
I don't know about you, but I'm planning to drown them.
What? Can't do that!
I'm still playing with the dogs at this point.
I can't hear any of this.
You can choose to end the conversation whenever you want.
Like, they killed those people.
Well,
they,
not these people. I mean, part of their group, but not these
specific
people.
They worked with the organization
people.
You heard, and I asked him specifically. He knew how many people were going to die in the Simulacrum raid, right? These people are responsible for those people that died. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They deserve it.
I shrug.
You can't just drown them after we've already beaten them. Like,
it's much easier than doing it before.
Like, you know, if you kill someone in a fight, that's one thing. But I mean, they should have a trial. I mean, we've been hired by the police.
Trial? But it's fine to kill them in a fight.
Yeah. Like, if they're trying to kill you and you kill them first, that's one thing. But once the fight's over, you have to deliver them to the authorities.
They've already done the deed. They're responsible for the death.
Not this person. Like, there's a difference between accessory to murder and murder.
Hello, chaps. I've, look at these. Look at these lovely chaps, aren't they?
We should tie these guys up, too. Do you want to just, like, tie them up to one of these rocks?
What, these?
The dogs. Yeah.
Tie dogs to rocks.
One of the dogs is asleep by an eaten eel pie, and the other one is just pining after Bertie at his heels, currently.
I mean, is that not the safest thing to do with them, just quickly? Bertie, Zolf thinks we should drown these guards.
Oh, well, is that really necessary?
They deserve it. And
I disagree!
They deserve it, and they will make a fitting tribute to Poseidon.
What?
Steady.
Oh, does he give you anything in return for that?
I think you're all benefiting from it. You seem happy enough that I can do it when I'm healing you. Where do you think that comes from? Mm. Eh?
I didn't realise it came from killing helpless people.
Helpless, maybe. Responsible for the deaths of lots of people, yes.
That has to be determined in a court of law.
If I hadn't stabbed them, they'd be stabbing you right now.
Yeah. The only law that I adhere to is the law of my God. And my God demands that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Justice and balance in things. The amount of people they've killed, people who were unaware, people who were just bidding. Now, they might have had lots of money, they might have been business owners and maybe
not
very nice
people. That's not the issue. I don't care what the people who died are like. I'm arguing about who is responsible. This person here clearly was not part of the group that actually killed someone.
Was aware of the plan, is benefiting from the rewards reaped by the plan. Condones the plan, works for the organisation. There was no subterfuge. I asked him, do you know how many people died? And he went, yeah, no. He is not taking responsibility for the things that he is responsible for.
Then he has an opportunity to learn and take responsibility and change. He
just because he says he's sad and he wants to go home.
Look, it's very possible to do things that you didn't mean to, that you didn't agree with because someone else bullied you into it or did it without your knowledge.
Sometimes people make you do, sometimes
being
circumstance
makes you
do things.
Being sorry will not bring those people back.
Oh, I know that. I'm not an idiot.
No. We'll wait, alright? We'll do things your way. Next time, When we have somebody who deserves it, they're going in the drink.
Sounds good.
It's no different from you killing them with some of your magic spells. You're very happy to fire stuff around, but as soon as you have to think about it, then maybe not so much. I'm the one who saved those people in that alleyway, because those thugs, maybe in retrospect, might have done, but they didn't deserve to die. They came to deliver a message. These people are monsters.
That's what they said.
That's what they said, but that's what I had to go on.
The leaders. The leaders and the murderers inside, they are monsters. We don't know these people.
Compromise. If we can get those alive, I'm drowning them in the Thames. They will make a fitting tribute, and they deserve it.
Okay. Hammond looks conflicted, as you might imagine.
It's all right, they would have killed you. That's my attempt to comfort.
So. So, what happens next?
Have you seen how many daggers I've got?
Can I just ask quickly, what is the current state of my relationship with the dogs? Can I legitimately bring them with me?
One of the dogs is asleep and not particularly concerned by you. The other one is currently at heel.
I think one of them has It's Complicated on Facebook and the other one might be.
The other one keeps sending me like invites for various games.
They're liking some really old photos of you on the beach.
That topless one of Bertie in Morocco. It's creepy.
That was 3 years ago.
It was, no.
How much did they scroll through?
Longer.
And moving on. Yeah. So you currently have a dog at heel. I'll leave it to you to decide what to do with it.
Well, I'm going to take him with me. I mean, I'm not assuming that he's going to have like any skills at this point, because he's an ill-disciplined guard dog from like some mongrel bull mastiff.
It looks like someone was trying for a bull mastiff.
He looks like he's a bit of a mess, really. Yeah.
Is he drooling?
I'd say he's like half bull mastiff, half Doberman, half postman's leg.
Right. I get the impression that he's sort of like he's drooling all the time.
Yeah.
And that's just because that's how his face is.
He also clearly is struggling to breathe because his nose is a bit messed up. It's like.
But through injury rather than like in breathing or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I think I take pity on this dog because he's clearly not very bright. I see a lot of myself in him. So he's not going to have any skills or anything like that. But I want to take him with us, but I feel that he would be an encumbrance in a combat situation, so I might...
Put a lead on him.
Yeah, can I make a lead for him? I've got Adventurer's Kit, which has got rope in it.
Yeah, so you've used at least one length of rope to tie up both of the guys.
Yeah. I have an Adventurer's Kit, so...
you've got more than enough rope.
Yeah, so I...
You need new locksmith's tools for doing that.
I make him a little lead, and I inspect him to see if he has... You won't have a collar with his name on it, really.
No.
The other two are unconscious.
He does have a collar.
He does and have a collar.
It's a spiky one, isn't it?
On the collar is written Brutor in like chalk, has just been chalked onto like some.
How big is this? Oh,
it, like someone's got this chalk and has just carefully written the word Brutor on its
Brutor.
Collar.
That sounds like a seventh generation Pokemon.
And there's like someone looks like they've put like rubbishy studs on it, like not actually studded it, like they've got some chunks of metal and just sort of tied them off against it to give him the semblance of like a big scary collar.
Right. I'm gonna take his collar off.
Very last season.
He licks your face. Or at least tries to as he does it.
I've got my helmet up at this point. My helmet's down. He tries to lick my face. I'll pull the helmet up.
He does lick your face and then proceeds to go a bit weird because of all the polish on your eyes.
It's an acquired taste. I think at that point I've got some of my lovely brandy and I'm going to pour it into my hand and just feed him the brandy.
Aww.
Bonding with a dog.
Bonding with a dog.
Right. So, we're taking it in, yeah?
Yeah.
We ready? We got.
I'm guessing that we did find the key. I searched the bodies.
Yes. Sorry, yes.
The key.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. One times key.
What tool? Did you make it obvious that you had the Tanglefoot bag stuff in the end, or
no,
have you not? Right. So what tools have we got now? So we've.
Well, we know there might be traps.
We're now stocked up on health potions, so we're pretty good for that. It's going to be traps, which I think your department definitely.
That.
We know there's only three people inside. One of them might be quite dangerous.
And there's a magician who
said
use magic. They have more oil flasks. Could you, we can lob an oil flask through the window. Why just burn them up?
Do we have like anything that might disorient them? Or
do we have any another thunderstone?
I've got one.
If we can get one through the window, that would be pretty effective. Yeah.
Just a thought, chaps. If the building's on stilts, who's to say that it has to stay on stilts?
True. Just to jump in, the building that Sasha saw with the lights on was one of the actual still-standing sort of stone buildings where they're just on the first floor. There was a shed which was on stilts, which appeared to have been made later out of like some manky-looking wood. But the actual building that she saw the lights on in was a proper
stone building.
Yeah, okay.
I like the idea that we're going through and Bert's just like, "Yep," knocks down the shed. It's like, "Yes, I like it."
Well, I could try and climb up and throw the thunderstone through.
Might be the only thing is we won't be able to get there in time because we'll still have to get through the traps. I think a stealthy approach, and we find the room they're in, we throw it through the door.
Gotcha.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan.
Then we can rush them and subdue them before they can get any silly stuff off.
Okay.
Before going into a full frontal assault or whatever it was, a stealthy one, I want to top up my 2 hit points. I could either drinking a potion or would getting a spell be the best way to do it.
2 level 0 spells would be quite efficient. They're not that useful in other situations.
Right. I'll just start.
I've got still a bit of stabbing left from that last thing. Is there? Or do you need your spells? Or
no? Should be right. I'm just considering which ones to get rid of. Because I've got detect poison and get rid of that. But then it's stabilise or create water. Mm. I think my heal check is good enough to not have to worry.
There's a ton of water around.
But if the building's on fire, I can't get the tent out.
Okay.
I'm now paranoid about fire instead of Alex's inferno encounter. Mm. Yes, I will get rid of. I will burn. Cool. Yeah, detect poison, stabilise.
Back on 10.
I'm going to poison all of you. No one's going to be stable.
So, like, technically, characters don't know about hit points.
Right. I've got some wounds, basically.
It's difficult to...
But a cleric with a heal check can assess, like, how badly hurt you are, and so that's the sort of the workaround for it.
Would you like me to do an assessment?
Honestly, I'd rather accelerate the game because your heal's that high, it's kind of immaterial.
Yeah. I would just say something like,
if you ever need a heal, rather than saying, I need 2 heal! Go up and just say, you know,
this hurts.
I feel dodgy, and then he'll just effectively know.
Gotcha.
I mean, unless you have something quite obscure, in which case, like if you were, say, poisoned with a hallucinogen or something, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't get you to go, I have some kind of hallucinogen in me. That's
cleric, it hurts when I touch my arm. It hurts when I touch my leg. It hurts when I touch my
leg.
That's because your
finger's
zombie.
That's because you've had Malekith's eternal pain cast upon you.
Welcome to a brave new world.
Pathfinder GP.
You know what? I think I'm going to call it there. What you guys are going to do, you've got a plan. You know what you're going to do. You're all going to sweep in. And
I'm going to stab.
Now, you
so
mentioned
many
earlier,
people.
I don't know if you mentioned it on recording, but you said that overnight, while we slept last night, we all leveled up.
Yes, that
so
is
that's
true.
Also, we're going to have to, before our next actual live session, where we record the next few episodes, we're all going to have to level up our characters and be level 2!
Yay! Bureaucracy!
That's insane! Yeah, so we'll get back on that one.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely spend a bit of time at the start of next episode discussing it. So, I'll tell you what, Bryn, use your announcer voice to send us off.
Tune in next week for more exciting tales from Rusty Quill Gaming!
Hooray!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Test. Beep, that, boop, 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 boop. Right, okay. Lydia?
I can't do those beepy boopy doopy doop things.
And Ben?
I can do those beepy doopy doop things. A beepy doopy doopy doop. A doopy doopy beep beep.
Bryn?
Oh.
A shoo up, shoo up, boo.
And James?
Give me a kiss to build a dream on. My imagination.
Right upon that case something.
That's fine. And we're coming to you from London, England, and playing in London, England. Now, I think about it, I never realised.
How deep does this rabbit hole go?
Maybe the game isn't the game. Maybe we are the game.
Maybe we're the players in the game. We're being played by, like, there's a paladin and a cleric, and they're all sat around a table in a castle somewhere, and they're playing this real-life game called...
No recursing.
Take the red pill and you'll find yourself at a table and it's really sweaty.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun! And see you later.